Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are on the CX2, the Caribbean Explorer 2, live aboard with Explorer Ventures, exploreventures.com on the web. Check it out, and you can be here with us next time. However, I'm hanging with Dan Orr from Divers Alert Network. He just gave his presentation to the crew, the passengers, and a few special guests, one of which you are hanging around with on the island of Saba today, right, Dan?
Yes. Dr. Jack Buchanan, we were spending some time today talking about the chamber here and having a good time.
Dr. Jack, thanks for hanging out with us today. Did you enjoy Dan's seminar? You can lie, Cindy's standing
there. I did, yes.
Yeah, you enjoyed it. Did you learn something, or is this like old hat for you?
A lot of it was old hat, but yes, I learned some very surprising facts.
Yeah, about the falling coconuts, that kind of thing, or what?
No. I've always been terrified of falling coconuts.
Yes, haven't we all? So, as a doctor here on Saba, what is your main role? You pretty much serve all the residents and guests, or what? Or if anyone has a problem, I got a headache.
Is on the shore on this island, comes under my aegis and with Dr. Heist Coat here, who is my buddy, companion.
You guys have two doctors. You're the two doctors on the entire island.
The two working doctors on the island, although there are others at the medical school, and especially my boss and his better half, who happens to be his wife, and she is the boss, and so we
answer to her. I got you. So, what about the diving? Being here in Saba as a doctor, you get out in there in the water, enjoy it a little bit too, or what?
Really not any longer.
Not as much as you'd like. Snorkel, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I still snorkel a little bit.
Do you have to treat divers here on the island or the local fishermen? Or?
Many years, yes.
Is there any particular thing you see most often? Is it so associated with DCS issues, that kind of thing, or what?
DCS issues, curiously enough, in the past 20 years, have been more with the untrained commercial divers. In other words, the local boys who go down for lobsters and things like that.
Right.
We've had more problems with them than we ever have had with the certified divers.
Got it. So the recreational divers coming to town on vacation, they've been doing pretty good, but the commercial divers that weren't trained properly, it sounds like, right?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So what do? You put them in a chamber if you can, or treat them any way you can?
In the chamber, try and get them unbent and do what we can for them.
That's right.
And at all hours of the day and night.
We're on call pretty much 24/7.
We're both on call 24/7.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to your partner in crime. Who works harder, him or you?
He.
He. Okay, that was it. What do you think?
I try to negate that.
You try to make it so he works harder.
You should,
but you keep losing the bet.
I try and shovel across to his office.
What about you? Do you get in the water and dive much?
Unfortunately, not so much, but occasionally I go for a dive and together with my wife. So I enjoy diving a lot. I did quite some dives, but we are only two, and we have to share 24/7. So half of the time is already at work, and then still I have a family. And as you see in this tropical area, the garden needs attention, and you need to do shopping. Sometimes you want to go off island. So But I enjoy diving. I enjoy diving.
Get it in when you can. I hear you. Now, both of you have interesting Saba-like accents. I'm guessing neither one are local Sabaeans, or I don't know.
I'm Scottish and he's Dutch.
Okay, how did this happen? How did you end up in Saba? Did you just come here because the pay was good, or what?
Oh, no, not that.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Even when I came here, I thought they had to bring money to work here.
Oh, is that what it was?
Well, for me, I used to work on Stacia, and it was just an advertisement in a medical journal. And I'm originally, I did tropical medicine and spent a couple of years in Africa, and then I was looking for another adventure. So I did the interview, and first they did not want to have a couple because I came with my wife, but then they phoned me back and said, well, we like to have you, and so we were hired, and we were in station for 5 years, and then after a couple of years in Holland, we came back here because Jack was calling me every week. He said, well, I need some help because I'm alone. So
you were lonely and just said, hey, please come visit me?
Well, I came... actually, after my adventures in medical schools,
yeah.
I came back to the island, and then very quickly, I was on my own. And Hikes had phoned me and said he'd answered this thing. I said, well, get your ass down here.
Come over here and help me out, for Christ's sake. Well, I need a drinking buddy, if nothing else.
Oh, well, we can't do too much of that either.
Well, you can't.
Because
okay.
One of us is on call, so we never can drink together.
Oh, that really must stink, then. You guys really are on 24/7. You're on right now, aren't you?
Yes, we're both on.
So you have your pagers ready.
He is theoretically on call, but if there was any major disasters on the island, we would both be called immediately.
Well, all I can say is thank you for coming tonight. I feel very safe that we have both the doctors here with us on the little board. Because, you know, we got these mermaids. You can tell they're a little... Just by looking at Tony, you know she's trouble, can't you? You can tell this, right?
I can tell she's trouble? I'd like to find out.
You want to give her an exam, do you? I'll add you to the list there, Dr. Jack. Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Just be fun.
Yes, so it is. Well, next time we come to, we'll try to work it out where you guys can maybe come diving with us as opposed to just watching a little.
Yeah.
You like that?
I would need to recertify.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you maybe snorkeling or something.
Don't worry. I take care of you. A minute, did I just hear something about that?
Excellent. No, Dan, tell me, what do you think the seminar, that was probably the third or fourth time I've seen it, but I think everybody here really enjoyed it, including the docs.
Is
that a typical reaction?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, everybody seemed to enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
What about interfacing with folks like this on an island like Saba? I mean, is that kind of what you're doing when you're doing the seminar and trying to spread the, some of that diving knowledge that you have at Dan with the accident statistics with the docs to make sure they're up to speed?
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with a lot of people who have a lot of experience. Like Jack was mentioning, a lot of that was old hat, but there were things in there that people don't think about because they haven't seen some of that data before. Especially the things, for example, that 41% of people ran out of gas, ran out of breathing gas. I mean, 41% of the people in the fatality statistics ran out of breathing gas. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
How could that happen?
I mean, it shouldn't. If you're trained properly, and according to them, the recreational divers that are coming to the island seem to be doing okay in that regard.
Yeah, but most people do. I think you get a lot of experienced divers, especially ones that travel far afield, understand that they need to be a little bit more highly qualified, or people who dive more regularly, and I think that it makes them a little bit safer.
Absolutely. Tony, what do you think about this? Do you feel safer having a couple doctors on board?
Well, of course. I'm a klutz. I always need doctors around me.
Yes. Well, I mean, this whole, you know, they definitely seem like they wanted to, you know, fix you. And maybe get some free health care out of this deal, you think?
We could always try for it. Why not?
Why not? What about this seminar for you? Did you pick up anything new on Dan's seminar tonight?
Well, I love Dan's seminar, and same as you, I've seen it three or four times already, especially recently, but it's great, and it always just makes me laugh, and it brings a good humor to a seemingly morbid topic, but it does get the point across, and everyone laughs and has a great time, and everyone seems to enjoy it.
Absolutely. You know, we got to talk to some of the crew people here, Tony, because, you know, I know you do everybody knows you as Mermaid Tony, but you're a dive instructor in the Florida Keys, and we got to talk to some of these crew members and find out maybe it could be a career path for you or anybody listening right now that wants to get into the dive industry, you think? You think this is a romantic type of, dive industry gig or what?
Well, I think it is. And remember the last time we were on a liveaboard, well, second to last time, I almost really did stay there and go back and work for a year and a half on a company. So.
You flirted with it very seriously, didn't you?
It was a very hard decision not to. So it is a high possibility for anyone who's a dive instructor out there or a chef or an engineer or whatever it may be.
What do you think? Who do you think on the boat has the best gig?
Well,
the captain?
No, not necessarily. Captain has a lot of responsibility.
What do you think? The cook?
Cook has a lot of responsibility.
So you're not going to take sides. You're not going to say who you think has the best job.
Absolutely not. Everybody has to pull their equal weight. And in every job that might look cushy, it's got its downsides as well.
All right. Well, let's talk to some of them now and find out. Well, right after the break. That's coming up next from Saba. Stay close.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
She is home to the oldest protected rainforest in the Western Hemisphere, the largest brain coral in the world, and she's considered the true jewel of the Caribbean Sea. Her sparkle will live in your memory long after you have left her shores. Tobago is her name, and she is now calling for you. Pristine coral reefs teeming with rich marine life are just the beginning. Find out why this is so in Tobago by going to visittobago.gov.tt. That's visittobago.gov.tt.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Hi, this is Charlene, a.k.a. Champagne, coming to you live from the Spice Island of Grenada. I've also been crowned the Scuba Radio Mermaid for 2010. You're listening to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now here's my good buddy who never touched my tail in Grenada or anywhere on the planet, Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio.
They may call them bathing suits, but those bikinis aren't big enough to patch a roach burn in my jeans. La 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 la.
Well, okay. Yeah, Champagne, she put it on quite a display there in Grenada last time we were in town. She's going to join us in Vima in November, but not before we head back over to Grenada next month. You'll hear all about that when we do our next phase of rebreather diving and maybe crown the next Grenada mermaid there on the Spice Island. However, we are on the CX2, the Caribbean Explorer 2 Liveaboard. Before we talk to some of the crew and maybe give you some ideas of what you can do in the dive industry, we do have some folks over on the boat tonight that were enjoying Dan's seminar from SABA. Greg's with me right now. Greg, now you're with what's the official title of the conservancy, or what is it again?
It's the SABA Conservation Foundation, and I'm a Marine Park Ranger.
Marine Park Ranger. So you basically are in charge of maintaining or helping to monitor the Marine Park here in SABA, right?
Yeah, all of everything. We say this a lot. It's far too much work, and it's way too much work, but we'll do it anyway because it needs to be done.
It needs to be done. What does that entail exactly?
It goes from pretty much the maintenance of the moorings to the Sea Scout program that we have. It's, the longest-running program in the Caribbean for kids. So we teach them how to swim, CPR, knot tying, kayaking, all those things, and everything that needs to happen underwater.
Introduce them to what's in the water, exactly. I notice when you go to a lot of islands in the Caribbean, a lot of the locals don't like to get into the water. Do you have that same problem here in SABA, or is it not as prominent here?
We are fortunate enough to not really have any beaches on SABA, contrary to a lot of other islands in the Caribbean. But I believe most people can swim. This pier that we're off of right now is fairly high, and Q4... he's supposed to jump off of it.
Yep. All right. So that's part of the whole SABA thing. That's good. And maybe that's one of the reasons why you've been able to get the support you need to get a marine park here in SABA, I guess, right?
Of course. Again, it's a small place. So once they become teenagers, kids have a tendency to have different interests than they did before, which is fair enough and logical. But there's plenty of support coming from local people. But we could always use a lot more.
Nice. Now, what are some of the other things you're dealing with? I know we were talking earlier about the fact that lionfish are showing up all throughout the Caribbean. You're having that issue here in SABA a little bit too, right?
Yeah, they're here. They've been here for a little over a year. And, of course, as other places I've shown, the numbers are starting to increase now, and we're actively hunting them and going after them as much as we can. They're getting bigger and bigger, so they're starting to become a good-sized meal.
Yeah, well, exactly. We're finding out they're great eating fish. Matter of fact, they were going to try to spear one on the boat this week when we were at the other island there in St. Kitts, but we weren't able to pull it off. But you're trying to educate the local fishing folks that, hey, they may want to start taking these animals if they can get them, that kind of thing, and maybe turn them into an appetizer at the local restaurant there in SABA, or what?
There's fishermen, of course, if they want to follow that the example that we set a couple of weeks ago. Little butter, little oil, nice hot pan, and they're absolutely beautiful.
And you're good to go. You got to love that. What about the dive sites? What's your name?
My name is Kai Wolf. I'm also with the SABA Conservation Foundation.
Very good. Now, what about your favorite dive site here in SABA? Like, if someone was coming here for the first time, where would you take them if it was like, hey, this is my special spot kind of thing? Can you share that or no?
Well, it depends on the experience level. You know? Everybody has a specific preference. So if you like deep diving, if you like technical diving, there is a special spot for that.
All right, let's say we're recreational diving. We want to do something in the 70, 80 maybe max, not super deep, but, you know, get a little depth under you. Where would you take them?
My personal favorite definitely is Man O' War Shoals. It's just the underwater scenery, these pinnacles that just stick up, and it's just full of life. You can find from nurse sharks to angelfish, French angelfish, barracudas, to almost everything what you can imagine what you can find here in the Caribbean.
Excellent. And what about a marine animal? Is there a particular critter you'd like to see when you're underwater, or that tickles your fancy more than others, or not?
And it's, for us, of course, also a question of what is an important health indicator for reefs. It's, from a marine park standpoint of view, is a more important question than the sheer beauty of a creature.
Seahorses? Are there? What about? Do you have those?
Seahorses. There are frogfish on certain sides. Of no clue if you have seen any.
Yeah. There was one on the site we were at tent. I think it was the.
Yes, usually you will find, but more frogfish there than seahorses.
Right. Yeah. So, would you consider a frogfish kind of like a seahorse, like a canary of the mine type of thing as well?
Oh, definitely. Seahorses in particular.
Yeah.
They're definitely a health indicator of a good reef. The more seahorses you have, the more you can say the reef is undisturbed. However, we have other indicators. We're even going after the parasites of fish. So you collect the parasites of the fish, and the amount of parasites on the fish can indicate as well how healthy your reef is.
Really? So, I mean, is that the amount of parasites or the type of parasites?
It's more the amount of parasites. They're looking at specific species of fish as well. And we have the great opportunity here every year that during the month of October we have a group of experts coming here who are presenting all kinds of topics. Can be something to do with volcanoes, can do something with something like collecting parasites of fish in the early morning at 3:30 before first sunlight, then bring them ashore and then let the parasites fall off and start counting them.
Wow, interesting. You would think that would be a bad thing in a way, but I guess that makes sense. If they have more parasites, more life, that kind of deal, I guess. Is it simple as that or no?
The more parasites would indicate a less of a coral cover generally. So the healthier the reef, the fewer parasites you could find on one specific fish. So we would go after one fish, put him in a little cage, leave him overnight, so this parasite that feeds on them once in their entire life cycle would drop off just before first light, and you count them, and that would give you an indication of your coral cover and the health of your coral.
Interesting. Very interesting. What about you, Greg? What any particular sites you like more than others, other than Man of War Shoals?
The guy's first dive with me on Saba was there because I took him there. He came to interview.
So he basically just stole your answer, is what you're saying.
No, not necessarily, but there's no bad diving on Saba.
Good point. All right, we got more coming up, including stuff with the crew from the Caribbean Explorer 2 next.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Mermaid Tony here on the CX2 Caribbean Explorer 2 Live Aboard with Explorer Ventures. ExplorerVentures.com. Go there, check it out. Now we're sitting here with some of the crew. We have Pauly and Brett. Now, Pauly, your position on the CX2 is what?
Main position, purser.
Purser. That means she's in charge of all the money, Tony. I'm just trying to make sure you're up to speed.
Oh, well, thank you, Greg. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Do you have a purse?
I do have kind of a purse.
Do you need a purse to be the purser?
Absolutely not.
No. It could be a fanny pack.
That would be you, not me.
Okay. And then we have Brett. Brett, your official title is what?
A dive instructor.
And pretty much you're the one who kind of runs the whole show here, though, right?
If you want to say that, sure.
Well, no. Just go with it. And Pauly, you kind of run the whole show because you really...
I run the show.
Yeah. You control the purse strings, right?
Purse strings.
Right, something like that. Yeah, so let's talk to you first, Brett, because obviously as the dive guide and dive instructor, you've seen it all, I'm guessing. How long have you been doing this on the boat?
I've been with Explorer Ventures for a little over a year now. I've been diving for 26 years professionally for about the last 10.
So you've pretty much seen it all.
I've seen just about everything you could imagine seeing under the water or on the boat. Yeah.
What about a mermaid? Was that a first for you this week?
It was actually. It was a nice surprise. That was an unexpected sight to see on that dive site. Was not expecting at all to see a mermaid swim past.
Really wouldn't care to see that again, though. I'm guessing once is enough.
Sure.
Well, you were okay with that.
I was all right with that. Yeah.
What are the biggest challenges for someone who wants to get into this type of position on a liverboard? What would you tell them, like, go do something else, or, hey, this is really the thing that you will learn a lot that might further your career in the dive industry down the road, or what?
Well, beyond you know, the training involved in becoming a professional dive instructor, you'd better be sure that you really enjoy what you do for a living if you want to come out to do this kind of work. It can. It's a thoroughly enjoyable job, but it is a 24-hour-a-day job, taking care of the boat, seeing to the guests, making sure that they have a safe and enjoyable time on board.
Yes, and catering to people like Mermaid Tony, that can be a little bit on the high maintenance side, right?
Sometimes.
No, that is you and not me.
What?
There's an edit right there. There's an edit. He didn't like that comment, so he's going to edit it.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi.
Hey. I don't even know where to start with this one. Take a look at that. A scuba diver up a tree.
How the hell to get up there?
You couldn't have climbed up there with all that crap on.
Got up there somehow.
Well, you know, Lake Mead is just over the hill and the copters are dropping water.
I'm a scuba diver. I got a lot of gear. A regulator and a fishing spear. A PC, a compass, a diving watch. A bang stick that hangs between my crotch. My weight belt snorkel, prescription mask, my super jet fins, I go real fast. I go real fast, I go real fast. I'm a scuba diver and it's a gas.
Yes, it is a gas. You know, and I got some new equipment that I've been using here on the CX2, my PL2 camera from Olympus with a new light and motion solo light. I got some great shots that'll show up on scubaradio.com eventually. But what is it? You know, on the last segment, Tony was saying that I'm needy. What were you saying? That I'm a needy diver? What do you mean?
You're just typically a needy diver. You need things done.
Well, let's ask the dive master here, or the dive guide here on the CX2. What do you think, Brett? Have I been a needy diver at all this week?
No. I think the only thing you've been needed was just maybe some air and a camera pull at the end of a dive. But other than that, you've been...
I've been easy.
I agree. You've been wonderful on this dive trip. I'm not sure what's happened on all the rest of the trips where usually you're needy, but on this one, you've been very wonderful.
Okay. Well, I heard it. That was dripping with sarcasm.
Now the comments, it's all relative depending on who else is on the charter with you.
Well, this is true. I'm needy because I need therapy because I'm dealing with Mermaid Tony here for a whole week. Maybe that's it. No comment?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. My ears were full of, water.
Yeah, that's what it was. Exactly. All right, well, okay, so there's one position. You could do the dive guide thing. Now, what about this purser gig? Is this a good gig, Polly? I know you're getting in the water and doing some diving as well. You kind of mix it up a little bit throughout the week, or what?
Absolutely. That's the great thing about being the purser. And anybody really on this boat gets to do a lot of different things. But, yeah, being the purser, get to do a lot of different stuff and play in the water. Get to know the divers, you know.
So I mean, I know you got to settle bills at the end of the week and that kind of thing for everybody and get them set up at the beginning, but is the middle portion the time where you get to play a little bit, or is that not really a fair word?
It's time management, being organized.
Being organized and getting all the paperwork done. You got to keep all the ship orders and things like that in place too, I guess, right?
Yep, and with the cooperation of everybody else, it just works, no problem.
So you have the best gig on the boat, is what you're saying.
I like what I do. I'm sure Brett enjoys what he does.
Is that true, Brett? Do you have the best job on the boat?
I have the best job in the world, Greg.
Good man, good man. Well, I would beg to differ with you because I have this gig. But don't get any ideas, okay? Now, where'd Sarah go? Sarah, come on over here, Sarah. Come on. Sarah, she's been avoiding us like the plague. Now, Sarah has been on the CX2 for how long now?
4 weeks.
4 weeks. She's relatively new to the liveaboard adventure here, I guess. Or you've worked on boats before, but not a dive liveaboard, right?
I love scuba.
You love scuba, but it's still fairly new to be in this type of environment.
I've been diving for 5 months. Knew nothing about liveaboards till about a month ago. Here I am.
But you are extremely popular amongst the passengers here because you're feeding everybody. She's the cook, right? Is that the official title, cook or chef or master of ceremonies or grand poobah of food or what?
Yeah, just culinary expert.
Ooh, I like that. Way to brown nose yourself. I like that. And now, what's the most fun aspect of your job? Is it cooking and seeing those satisfied looks on these passengers' faces? Or is it being able to dive in between preparing these concoctions or what?
Yeah, it's actually watching people struggle to get in their wetsuits after a meal.
That's a very satisfactory, you know, just a great feeling to have, I guess, huh?
That little extra bulk.
Just, you want to fatten everyone up.
Sure.
That's your goal in life.
Yep.
Good girl. Good girl. Well, you've done a great job, at least for me. Tony, I don't think, she hasn't done any. She's been eating very healthy. You've actually, I got to say that God bless Sarah, because on all the liveaboards I've done, this is probably some of the best and healthiest food I have ever had on a liveaboard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My wife will thank you. And what do you think, Tony?
Last time you went home, your wife asked if you were dying because you were too skinny.
Well, that was because I was eating crappy food, or I wasn't eating it. That's what it was. And it was, I was exercising a lot. But, you know, I mean, the food here has been really good. It's been healthy as well. So you didn't, you know, yeah, I don't feel like, you know, we're all bloated out. What are you looking down there for, Tony? Her stomach, by the way. Let me just clarify that.
Huh?
No, I said, what are you looking down at your tummy? Like, you're thinking, did you put on a little, you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it was quality input. It was good food, good stuff in, good stuff out. I don't know.
You know, actually, I thought I would be coming on board this boat and pretty much eating just salad because on other liveaboards have eaten a lot of fried foods and things. It was like, I just don't want that. I don't like that kind of food. I came on board and everything has been amazing and it's deceivingly healthy because it tastes wonderful, but it's chicken, it's all grilled, there's nothing fried, and I've eaten way too much. And the desserts are to die for. And the brownies. And the cookies.
Well, I warned Tony that the chefs tend to trick us. You know, about 2 or 3 days in, then, you know, after we've had a couple of really healthy meals, you know, it's like chicken breast, and it's really tasty stuff, but it's somewhat healthy, you know, good vegetables and all this kind of stuff. And then 2 or 3 days in, then out come the brownies, out come the cookies, out comes the ice cream, and all these little goodies that kind of sneak up on you.
She's done that from day one, but the problem is it's deceivingly healthy because it's healthy food, but it's so good you eat a ton of it, so it doesn't matter what it is. You're just eating way too much in general.
Is that what it is, Sarah? You're just trying to trick us with healthy food, but it's so good we're going to eat too much?
3 pounds of butter a day, so.
Oh, really? So it's not as healthy as we are thinking?
It's healthy.
Oh, it is healthy, and I have no doubt. What is your favorite meal to cook? Do you have something like that you specialize in as the culinary expert?
Yeah, stir fry is probably my favorite.
Stir fry? Really? What kind of stir fry? Well, like a chicken noodle stir fry thingy?
You did have stir fry.
Did I? I don't know. When did we have that?
We did Asian stir fry with sautéed vegetables, a pineapple fried rice, chicken, and bang bang shrimp.
Yeah, okay, now I remember. Yes, it was good. I don't know what the names of this stuff is. You fed us like bok choy stuff yesterday. I had no idea what the hell it was, but it was tasty. It was good stuff. I'm glad you gave it to us.
You can see my thumbs up.
Yes, we can on the radio every time. What, Tony?
Nothing. You don't really eat the veggies because you don't really like veggies, so.
No, I eat veggies because, as we know, veggies
make you go.
Why did you hesitate there?
It took me a second, and then
you were going to say poop, weren't you?
It was from my aunt in England, and we're sitting there eating a dinner one night, and she reminds one of my other family members, "Remember, you have to eat your veggies; they make you go." And now it's kind of an inside joke. I just didn't really expect Greg to go there right now.
Literally, go there. You get it?
Talking about poop.
Yeah, well, hey, wouldn't be the first time, unfortunately, for our show. But hey, but you like your. You like your gig here. 4 weeks as a chef, it's not bad, huh?
I love the boat. Everyone on board's really nice. I love scuba.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Polly, help me out here. As Sarah being the chef, can anybody possibly have a problem with her? Because she makes your food.
Would you like me to walk away?
She giggles an awful lot.
She does. She's a giggler. That's a good thing.
It's very refreshing to have her around. She's good humor, lots of fun. Yeah.
But that's a lot of power being the chef, because you can't piss off the chef, because that would be a bad thing, right?
You cannot. That's the number one.
Try. They try. Is this crew sometimes give you any lip?
I don't think I've been here long enough.
Well,
I haven't properly tried yet.
What about the diving, Sarah? What do you like to look for underwater? Anything in particular been catching your eye in these last 4 weeks, or what?
I just love all of it.
Just any time you get underwater, you're just tickled pink, huh?
There's been a frogfish and other fish I don't recognize, but I enjoy seeing.
I mean, you're a relatively newbie diver then, so it's all new to you, period?
I had my first night dive a week and a half ago.
Were you scared a little, or?
No, I bite sharks, so it's no big deal.
Bite sharks. If they give her any lips, she just cooks them up in a pot, and they're good to go. All right. Well, there you go. Three options for you to work on the little board. More coming up.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Time now for Scuba Radio's forgotten acronyms in diving history, FADH, or as we like to call it around here, FAD.
Divers Receiving Underwater Navigational Knowledge of Scuba. Drunks.
This has been Forgotten Acronyms in Diving History. FAD. On Scuba Radio.
FAD, I think they're well represented here on the CX2 tonight. The diving is done. There has been a little drinking going on, and I'm hanging out with the crew. I'm hanging out with the passengers. What do you think, Travis? Now, Travis was the one who is the new diver. He got a certificate. You got an award tonight, dude.
I did get an award.
And it is for?
Giant striding off of the pedestal toilets.
Really? Yeah. That's impressive. How did you get that and not me? That's what does it say there, Polly? What did you get? What is it officially? Read it. Read that proclamation.
Congratulations to Travis Stadler for taking that first giant stride into ocean waters whilst on the Caribbean Explorer 2. May you return time and time again. Stay safe and enjoy.
Nice. Now you'll take that home, frame it, and the whole thing, right?
I'm gonna absolutely.
So that and he got a Scuba Radio hat. So now I was talking to him earlier today, and Travis, we still got another a half a day of diving. But now that you've done a bunch of the dives here in Seva, what do you think? What was the one standout moment that you've had underwater so far?
I still am going to stick with my Barracuda. That was my favorite.
Barracuda, and that was where and what happened?
The first night dive, and there was a big one kind of following us, first one I've ever seen. And one time he came at my face and underneath.
Down by your nether regions?
Right there, and I kind of watched him go. And
you're like, hey, this is it. No more kids for me kind of thing. That kind of flashed before your mind there.
Yeah, that freaked me out a little bit, but he followed us around. That was, I think, my favorite part yet.
Yeah. So it was just facing that fear, seeing an up-close encounter with a barracuda.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice. All right, well, there you go. And that was where? Was that at St. Kitts, or was that here?
Yeah, that was the Kitts, yep.
All right. So, and it was your first night dive.
First
in the ocean.
In the ocean, yeah.
Sweet. Well, there you go. You'll never forget it. And we're happy to have you aboard for that. Now, where did Mike Austin go? We have Steve Austin, the $6 million man. His brother is on the boat. You know, he might be hiding because, I don't know, is he bionic in any way? Do you know, Travis? Have you been able to figure that out?
I don't think he is.
Is he a bionic diver, maybe?
I don't know. I don't watch him too much.
I worry about myself. What do you think there, Brett? What do you think of the people we've had on the trip so this week? Everybody's been doing fairly well, haven't they?
I think we've got some qualified divers. Been a high standard of diving. Been some good weather, dodging some bad weather. No injuries. That's always a good thing. We've seen a lot of interesting things in the water. We've had some first time experiences for some of our divers. Seen some things that we rarely see, such as the little frogfish that we saw this afternoon, something
right.
that divers can go a lifetime without seeing. And we had a diver who's on his first week of open ocean diving, and he gets to see one right off the bat.
You are spoiled rotten, you know that, Travis, because you saw a barracuda, and that impressed you, but you saw a frogfish, which is very rare, not to mention you saw a mermaid. Well, out of those three, how would you rate them in priorities or in most memorable experiences?
I'm thinking it was the barracuda.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're putting the barracuda above Tony?
I have to put it above Tony.
Really?
You weren't. So between something swimming along past your nether regions, would you choose the barracuda or the mermaid?
Yeah. The mermaid.
Yeah, you would too. Yeah, now she's paying attention, so I guess she had to say the right thing. Now, you made a big impression on him, and I'm sure everybody doing the mermaid thing this week, Tony. You should be happy.
Well, that's good to know. That's why I do these things.
That's why you do them is to bring joy to your fellow diver man or woman or anyone, right?
This is very true, or fellow underwater photographers, or basically anyone in the world but you.
So let it be written.
What is that all about?
So let it be done.
Sarah, what is this attitude? Do you see this? Are you kind of wondering? It wasn't very nice, was it?
No.
It was just plain cruel, was it?
Built up anger.
You know what? No soup for you. Just give it to her.
Well, there's actually no soup tomorrow at all, so.
Oh, no soup for me either.
No.
No, there isn't?
No soup. You didn't even eat the soup today.
Oh, yes, I did. I did eat the soup. It was a banana. No, it was a.
Yes,
what
we
was
had
it?
Banana soup today.
Banana soup. Yes. Well, that'll be tomorrow. now that I mentioned it. No, it was it was potato leek something bean. What was it?
Leaky potatoes.
Leaky potato soup, and it was tasty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there, I had some.
Barbecue pork and split pea.
That was my second guess, yes, and I had that too. I did have some of that.
It was basically leftover ribs from last night in peas,
God.
And it was amazing.
Stop making such a big deal out of it.
Wasn't leftover is not the right word?
They don't put leftovers in anything.
They were saved especially for the soup.
That's right.
They weren't leftover.
Hey, you know what?
They were made extra.
In my dictionary is an amazing thing. Because without leftovers, I would be a very, very sad person. So, for me, it's a positive word, but then it was saved.
That's too funny. I can't remember when I've heard a funnier anecdote. Okay, now you tell one.
Any last thoughts of your trip to Saba? You were looking forward to this for months, literally. So, I mean, now that we've went through this process, what would you tell somebody listening as to why they should come on a trip and do this?
It's a different trip to anything else I've ever done. Just because the land tours, the crew on this boat is phenomenal. They get along. It's just a wonderful, happy boat, and it's been so much fun, and I'm honestly really, really sad to leave.
What's that? What?
And great diving.
Oh, yeah. By that, let's not forget that.
Well, of course, the diving's wonderful, but for me, I'm not that hard to please. You can throw me in a teeny tiny little swimming pool with a mask and snorkel, and I'm happy, but...
Well, yeah, there's a great testimonial. Not.
Hated it.
Jeez, what the hell's the matter? She's so jaded, but I think you can tell she had a good time. All right, that'll do it for this week. Next week, we're back in the studio, and then we'll be in Grenada shortly thereafter. Till then, remember... It's always better. Where, Tony?
Down where it's wetter.
Good down, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.